This is Tom Mankiewicz.
I'm there.
Tom's my buddy. And I'm Richard Donner.
No, I'm Richard Donner.
Listen, it's optional right now. Dedicated with love and respect to Jeffrey Unsworth, one of the great, wonderful, not only great cinematographers, but human beings that ever lived. Tremendous loss. Remember these curtains opening?
Yep.
Black and white on a little stage. Little people came out. June 1938. God, we started shooting in June 1938.
It's a very long shoot.
It was a long shoot.
In the decade of the 1930s, even the great city of Metropolis was not spared the ravages.
Now, this was very much Dick's idea. I like to take credit for everything in here that's creative, because I am, after all, the creative consultant.
Wait, didn't he get writing credit?
No.
Oh, that's right. Writers Guild, all that. That's right.
Reputation for clarity and truth had become a symbol of hope for the city of Metropolis.
Look at that little building. I should have kept that miniature. Yeah. There we go into it. You know what that stuff's worth today? A bloody fortune. Here we go. Remember the music? This is John Williams' music at its best.
Glorious score, and also just a wonderful man.
Yeah. Marlon Brandewitz. He was the best.
Now, talk about that, how that...
Gene Hackman.
That design
the
happened, Dick. Huh? How the design of these titles happened.
Oh, this was Richard Greenberg. Oh, wait a minute, a moment of silence. Richard Greenberg had a company in New York called R. Greenberg & Associates, who designed a trailer, a teaser trailer, of Superman going through clouds and these titles zooming out of it. And there was a teaser we put on to... the pre-sell Superman. I thought they were such genius design that I asked him to come over. He not only ended up doing our titles, but did a major portion of our opticals.
I would just add that when he did that teaser, it had no footage from the movie in it. It was just a shot taken out of an airplane, the front of an airplane, a jet going through clouds. And it was a time when everybody had been working so hard for so long and everybody's morale was down a little bit. And Dick ran it in the Pinewood Theater. And people just cheered when they saw it. It just gave everybody such a shot in the arm.
See these little flashes of lights? You remember that? That was the Oxford Scientific. That's macro photography in motion pictures at high speed. Underwater. It was sodium ignited underwater. And do you remember that? We're going over there to try and design what Krypton... Valerie Perrine.
And later, when Krypton explodes, don't forget to mention the burning tennis ball.
Oh, right. Well, what else? Let's see. What a cast this was. Aaron Stamp.
Fresh from his pilgrimage to India. It's like a comeback movie for him.
This really put Richard Greenberg in business. Jeff East.
Poor Jeff East, who did such a wonderful job playing Superman as a young Clark Kent. And at the end, even though he had a great performance, wonderful performance, he was dubbed with Chris Reeve's voice.
And Chris's nose.
Well, Chris's voice was so different from his.
Yeah.
And it was
John
no reflection on his performance. John Barry, brilliant.
Genius. Did Star Wars.
Unfortunately died quite soon after the picture.
In his 30s. Stuart Baird, whatever happened to him?
I heard he wants to direct.
Oh, everybody.
Everybody wants to direct.
Sean Williams, he's a comer.
Where's the creative consultant?
It's coming up, Tom.
You know, the director, Dick Donner, had the chutzpah to put the creative consultant, Tom Mankiewicz, after the writers. The Writers Guild will never forget you for that.
I know. You deserve full writing credit. There you go. Long credit sequence.
It certainly is.
Nowadays, it's always at the back, so you can get up and leave. And that's the way it should be. To be forced to sit through this, although the music...
This is a very popular credit here.
Yep. Creative consultant, Tom Mankiewicz.
See the big circle around it?
Yeah, they cheered on every name. Charlie Greenlaw.
He was a nice guy.
A wonderful man. Warner Brothers.
Yep.
Whatever happened to him? Ilya what?
So again, that's a Saul kind.
Ah, Saul kind awful.
Close Encounters of the
Saul. Pierre what? Star Spangled Spengler.
Spengler.
Oh,
that was a very popular kind.
Okay, here we go. Here's the movie.
More stars.
Yeah, more stars. Oh, gosh. What was this guy's name? Les Bowie.
Yes.
Who did all these things. And you'd watch him do it, and you'd look at it. He created all these. That was a tin of gasoline on a stage shooting straight down. And he ignited it, and we photographed it at high speed. And I said, that's going to look like what it is. And look what it turned out to be, the sun. He was a genius. Total genius.
And Derek Meddings did the miniatures,
all the
right?
miniatures. Yeah. They're all gone. All those guys. They're things of the past. But those were making movies. They did it hard, negative, on the spot. No computers, no nothing. This was all...
And because of Dick Donner, who likes this as a signature to his films when they're myths, I started the film with the line, this is no fantasy.
You're right.
No careless product of someone's wild imagination. Now, it seems to refer to the film, but it's really Brando's speech about the three villains. Dick always makes these films that are wild myths and then tells the press, of course, it's really a true story, you know.
Well, you have to treat it as a true story. Derek Meddings. That's about 18 inches high.
This is no fantasy. No careless product of wild imagination.
Oh, gosh.
Harry Andrews.
You know what this was? That was how we did this, though. We had projectors, rear projectors, projecting on screens around him on that stage. We had eight of them going at the same time.
Listed herein against the individual.
Piece of plastic in his hand. We had a flashlight at the other end to light up.
Keeping us, like the ultimate usher's tool to find a seat for you.
You're right.
Yeah. Now, take a look at the white spit curl on Mr. Brando. It was there at Mr. Donner's insistence.
And that was a toy. Remember we saw these toys and we said, can you reproduce this on the stage? It was a toy for kids that was electrically operated. And those are individual rear projectors. On the, nowadays... Just be computer graphic,
yeah.
Yes.
So just to finish that, Dick said to Marlon, you know, Superman has a spit curl and you're going to have a spit curl. And Marlon said, over my dead body, and finally agreed.
On the woman Ursa,
I've been all the way through.
His perversions and unreasoning hatred of all mankind have threatened even the children of the planet
group. This was prepared... Designed
finally, General Zod
and shot in less than 10 weeks.
Right.
Because that's when we knew we had Brando. You had to design the set, hire the actors, do the costumes, do the wardrobe, and be ready to shoot with him and all of Krypton. All the interior stuff.
And Terry Stamps, who looks so wonderful, and so I remember him telling me, this was the first day shooting, how absolutely terrified he was working with Marlon Brando. I mean, which you never think about, that an actor, you know,
you're right,
working with Marlon Brando, he's wonderful.
Oh, you know who that is?
Trevor Howard.
Trevor Howard.
The vote must be unanimous, Jor-El. It has therefore now become your decision. You alone will condemn us if you wish. And you alone
wonderful
will be responsible by me.
An amazing cast.
Yeah.
That's the flashlight. Hold it this way, Marlon.
Two down front.
Join us. You have been known to disagree with the council before.
I do remember the shot and then down the ramp.
Yours could become an important voice in the new order, second only to my own. I offer you a chance for greatness, Jor-El. Take it. Join us. You will bow down before me, Jor-El. I swear it. No matter that it takes an eternity, you will bow down before me. Both you and then one day, your heirs.
Oh, and now what you're about to see was an effect that I saw that Sunday on a commercial for cereal. That that thing. And we called the company and they came in. And designed this piece, and it was actually from a commercial.
Where they get squashed?
Where they get one-dimensional piece that spins, right. Two-dimensional piece that spins around.
Just for a second, looks like the Hollywood Bowl.
In a winter day. Here it comes.
Jack O'Halloran.
Oh, yes.
Former professional boxer.
That's right.
What is really amazing in this picture is, with all the sophistication...
Look at this.
The sophistication that exists today is that so many of these things were done for the first time in this picture. There wasn't that kind of expertise at these things. Nobody knew how to make anybody fly.
That's right.
I mean, you know, all that existed was Peter Pan, you know, on wires. Nobody knew how to make anybody fly.
And this was a wild idea that happened by mistake while we were testing the flying unit with the front projection. We noticed that the material lit up on its own without film on it. So we tore the material into tiny pieces and glued it onto these costumes and designed a front projection box for each camera. So actually, there was a little light on the camera and it would project into a mirror, bounce out in front of the lens, hit the costume, billions of little glass beads, they light up, and bring the image back into the camera.
It's very hot. I remember the actors were hot. You'll see, by the way, that Marlon Brando has an S on his chest, because one of the great riddles we tried to figure out was why Superman has an S on his chest, because it obviously stands for Superman, but he wasn't called Superman until he got this. Why does he have an S on his chest? So we decided to give everyone a family crest with a different letter. Which didn't really exist in the comics, though. There's Maria Schell.
And there's Icky Ox family and back to.
It's your conclusions we find unsupportable.
This planet will explode within 30 days, if not sooner.
I tell you, Krypton is simply shifting its orbit.
Jor-El... Be reasonable.
Harry Andrews, a wonderful actor that Marlon was talking to, who was in The Hill with Sean Connery.
You remember that? Was he brilliant?
Oh.
The sergeant?
Yes, yeah, tremendous. Is terminated. Wonderful actor.
The decision of the council
the is glow. Final. The energy of that. And when the lights were off, that was black, that material.
Mm-hmm.
Total black. Everybody sides against him. We were so fortunate to get that cast.
Absolutely.
Any attempt by you to create a climate of fear and panic among the populace must be deemed by us an act of insurrection.
You would accuse me of insurrection? Has it now become a crime? A cherished life?
I remember that Harry Andrews, who only had two lines, one of them was, but so is Vonda. And he said, but so... is Vonda. And then he said, is that a bit much? You know, I only have the two lines.
So you abide by the council's decision.
All experimental.
I will remain silent.
It's a little chance to experiment. Either. Yeah. Remember, there's no time.
No, my wife. Leave to
and I, if I remember correctly, after about half an hour or something of shooting, they all got so hot, we had to air the stage out and open the doors and everything.
Yep. And evacuate the smoke.
Yeah.
Jeff used a lot of smoke.
Yeah, he loved the smoke. Fog filters and fog.
Yeah.
I think, thanks to Dick and to Jeff Unsworth, you also see in the movie as it progresses, there are really three different styles of shooting. This, which is very full of fog filters and smoke, when the young Clark Kent grows up, it's very Andrew Wyeth, earth tones, and so on. And the minute it comes to Metropolis, it becomes a comic strip with bright colors and bright... It's three different styles.
Three separate styles, you're right, totally. But there are three different places.
Now, here's Susanna York.
With his colors. Yes. His blanket had his colors.
And I wrote this long speech for Brando when he puts Superman in the capsule, and there are obvious allusions to God sending Christ to Earth. That sent them my only son.
Don't have to bring that up again. I had more death threats because of that.
It said, but he says, all this I send with you, I send, and
my
at
son.
One point, Susanna York took me to the side and said, and what does the mother send? The mother sends Dick. I said, when you're getting $3 million for 11 days' work, you can send everything too. I said, she was very put out. She said, mother didn't send anything.
My son. Oh, look at these sets.
You will defy their gravity.
All designed and executed in 11 weeks.
You won't be one of them.
John Barry worked 20 hours a day.
Yeah, and as did the crew.
Yeah.
Molecular structure will make him strong.
He'll be odd. Different.
See why Marlon's looking down as he's talking?
Everything's written.
Because he's reading it.
And it's hidden all around the set. I mean, sometimes there's actually a card. Sometimes it's written down. And he used to joke that a lot of the stage pauses that he became famous for is trying to find his next line. But he did it wonderfully.
Well, he believed in doing it fresh for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Don't learn them, don't memorize them, don't commit them, let them come out for the first time.
Also easier that way.
Not to some actors.
No, but he could get away with it.
Our data indicates the loss is due to a misuse of energy.
What cheap shots. When you look at this now. Look at the costume, either.
Yeah.
Correct.
Couldn't get away with that anymore.
He knew the penalty he faced. Even as a member of this council. The law will be upheld.
It's growing. It's coming at us. Look at these matted miniatures. Nobody knew how to do any of this. And you see the lights throbbing behind them in the great towers? You'll see that. We blew out, do you remember we blew out all the stage transformers?
Absolutely, I remember.
Because they couldn't handle the dimming. There they go.
You will travel far, my little Calel.
That kid's diapers were worth a fortune because Brando's dialogue was in them.
Even in the face of our death, the richness of our lives shall be yours. All that I have, all that I've learned, everything I feel, all this and more, I bequeath you, my son. You will carry me inside you. All the days of your life. You will make my strength your own. See my life through your eyes. As your life will be seen through mine. The son becomes the father, and the father the son. This is all I... All I can say.
Brando had shot quite a bit of stuff for Superman 2 and some really beautiful scenes, including one where he committed suicide to give his son life.
Yeah.
And it was like we did a parallel of God touching the hand of Adam and him bringing his son back to life.
Oh, they cut out all the stuff.
All the stuff with him.
That wonderful scene you did when that you wrote of when she fires the gun into Superman.
Oh,
Clark Kent.
Yeah.
We shot that. It was all done. What if? But it was a blank.
Yeah. She said, fired a gun into him.
Lois, what if I was a Superman?
He said, Lois, if I hadn't been Superman, you would have killed Clark Kent. And she said, how? With a blank.
And he knew.
And she said, gotcha.
Great scene.
But she got it. I cut that out.
Mr. Richard Lester decided to take that out.
Yeah, for some reason.
Yeah. Look at that. Here we go.
Yeah. Well, I remember when that thing was actually going up on the stage. It was like the Wright brothers. Nobody knew whether anything was going to work.
We had the baby in it, too.
Oh, God.
But we had two other kids standing by just in case.
One was 17, one was 34.
Oh, boy.
Actually, these are actual scenes taken from a party at Dick's house.
Oh, gosh, do I remember all this? Just trying to get that thing to move. That's the miniature. These guys are so good at what they did. Right now, up through the floor. Over the...
Yes.
Oh, God, the Rams and the... And you had one shot with it, otherwise you had to rebuild everything. And we weren't going to have Brando for it.
Now, wasn't the final explosion of the planet done with those tennis balls, those burning tennis balls?
It was like tennis balls. It was lots of little things with magnesium on them.
On the back line.
And overhead with the camera on the ground, and he ignited it, and off it went. You'll see it in a moment. He was really scared, actually, because those things were moving and stuff was coming at him. And are we safe here? Can't guarantee anything. Playing super impositions and over this macro photography. I think they're gonna come back.
Which Einstein called his theory of relativity. Embedded in the crystals before you is the total accumulation of all literature and scientific fact from dozens of other worlds, spanning the 28 known galaxies.
Land them there. Get them there.
You edited it.
But see how the kid grew?
By carrying this complex equation to its ultimate power, my
friend. I tried very hard to write very formal dialogue up on Krypton to match the style and very bucolic dialogue with Ma and Pa Kent, and the minute it comes to Metropolis, there's lots of one-liners in its thing, and it moves, and it's Lex Luthor, and so on. It's
who wrote that stuff? I love that, the comedy, the Quistelotti. Who was that? Was that you, or was that the other guy? There it is. You're right, you changed the style.
And the only guy who really got it, you know, a lot of people said, Jesus, three different pictures. Jack Kroll, God rest his soul, just died. Said, you know, this is intentionally three movies. And a lot of people said it's very confusing because it seems to be a little bit stilted up on Krypton, and then it's a very different picture when it gets to... But it's that way intentionally.
There it is, Glenn Ford.
What a wonderful, wonderful couple.
The producer's mother-in-law.
Phyllis Baxter was the producer's mother-in-law. But outside of that, responsible for just a beautiful scene where she leaves.
She's wonderful.
When she, the boy leaves her in the wheat field.
Yep. Oh, gosh, yeah.
And Glenn is just one of those guys. And I think he came, we'd already been shooting for months, and he arrived in Canada to shoot this. All of the young Clark growing up was shot in Canada because we had a British crew. Canada was much easier.
And the first thing he says, do I have to wear this wig?
Yeah.
I said, what is that, Glenn? I said, no. No way, Glenn. He said, oh, thank you, Richard. We did a series together, a pilot, just before
this. He's got this wonderful style of acting where if Glenn Ford is going to say, I went down to the store, he says, you know, I went down to the store. So like, he just, it gets all, and he's just wonderful. And
Chris Reeve was very upset about this shot, by the way, because it was very cold, and his image was ruined. But we were going to animate a little bigger thing there, but I figured, what the heck?
Yeah.
That reality went out.
Super Blade.
Yeah, Glenn was wonderful. He still is.
Mm-hmm.
You'll notice he always looks camera left.
That's how he prefers to look.
Well, years ago when I worked with him, he said, I like to look camera left. I said, well, you're crazy. Why? He said, no, I'm telling you. He said, I got kicked in the jaw by a horse on a Western. And I got kicked in the right side, and my face is terrible. And sure enough, I went shot him the other way.
Mm-hmm.
He was right.
First thing we got to do.
When he, as he will soon, has his heart attack, it was so eloquent, and I did not write what he says when he had it, which I've never heard an actor say before. He just says, oh my.
And he studied it. He really researched it. When he grabbed his arm, I said, why are you grabbing your arm? Oh, my. He had a good memory, Tom.
Jonathan, he's...
Well, I remember that because I'd like to take credit for having done it, but it's him.
Now, you saw how we found him. Martha,
this boy, your sister...
Whose kid was that?
But, you know,
did you get him in Canada? Or
no. Lou DiGiamo cast him for us.
Oh, yeah?
Out of New York. He did all that East Coast casting. It's really excellent. Tom? This is for the old Mount Vernon High. That's where I should have bought that car.
This is a Dick Donner special. He likes to get cheerleaders in every film he does. We were putting in a character named Lana Lang, who I think young Clark Kent was always supposed to have gone out with Lana Lang, and
that's
I think
right.
She's in here somewhere. And there's Jeff East. I said, he gave a lovely, lovely performance, and Chris finally dubbed him.
With his nose and wig. That's Lana Lang.
Yeah.
Lana, don't bother with these, huh? I'll take them in with the other equipment.
Thank you, Clark.
Sure.
Listen, a whole bunch of us are going up to Mary Ellen's, play some records. Would you like to come?
Look at the wheat fields behind them. That was Calgary.
Yep. We're in Alberta.
What are you talking about? I just finished
that. Very funny. We stayed at, in Banff. There's that beautiful hotel, the Banff Motor Springs or something. Not Motor, but Banff Springs Hotel on the lake.
Banff Springs Hotel, Banff Hotel.
And it's all like white wicker and so on. And I remember the first day we were there before we shot, I had lunch with Hackman and Margot, and Gene said, I got to go to the bathroom. Where's the bathroom around here, do you think? And Margot said, the quickest way is down that stairs and into the thing and so on, and right around the corner. He said, how do you know that? We just walked in here. And she said, I waited tables here for 2 years.
Oh, right. Very good. Where did she come from?
She came from, she was a Newfie from Newfoundland.
They're the most furthest town north.
Yeah, and they're like, all the Polish jokes in Canada are Newfie jokes. If you're a Newfie, you're just one step up.
And it was the town where the Sputnik fell. That made history. Look at these shots, Tom. I mean, those days... He's on a wire being pulled on a truck. And every once in a while, his feet would get caught in the grass and spin around.
Now, that's the Lois Lane from the television series, Noelle Neal, and the original Superman.
Kirk Allen.
Kirk Allen.
And he's the one that played the original Superman. Lois Lane, the brat.
Yeah.
Lois, you'll never grow up to be a...
Yes.
I'll say that for you.
That was a little notion that we had, which obviously has never been in the comics or anything, which was that Lois saw Clark Kent when she was very young. That's Lois Lane.
You know how we did that? Him running? On a motorcycle, standing. He was standing up on it, we were dragging a dust bag. How'd you get here?
How'd you get here so fast?
I ran.
Ran, huh?
Cool.
Told you's an oddball. Let's get out of here.
Why didn't I buy that car, Tom?
Oh, that's a great car.
Huh.
Been showing off a bit, haven't you, son? I didn't mean to show off, Pa. It's just that guys like that Brad...
Look at that setting, John Barry.
I know. Yeah,
Rockwell.
Yeah, I know. You can do all these...
Yeah, Norman Rockwell, yeah. Andrew Wyeth.
Oh, and I remember how Jeff shot this.
Yeah.
With no lights, I mean, against the backlight, like with a white card.
Sure.
And a pickup truck that was being pushed by 18 of the crew.
Doing the things up the hill. Capable of doing.
No lights.
Off when it flies.
No.
Just a white card. Extraordinary.
Listen to me. When you first came to us, we
bouncing
thought
that back to sun
and take you away because when they found out, you know, the things you could do, and that worried us all.
It's also amazing when you're working hard on a movie and suddenly a guy like Glenn Ford arrives for a couple of days to work, and it just invigorates everybody. You look and you say, there's Glenn Ford. I mean, that's...
You are here for a reason. I don't know
looking left.
The very is. Big looking left.
I don't know. That's
a real sweetie.
But I do know one thing.
Good actor.
It's not to score touchdowns. Huh?
Yeah. Thanks, Dad. I'm ready to do it. Yeah.
You will.
Come on, Pop.
He grew that corn. Remember that? And the wheat?
Mm-hmm.
He took over that farm a year earlier. Grew everything.
There he goes.
There he goes. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
One of my favorite shots in the movie because he's down and no one knows it. Dick cut wide right away. I mean, so there's no, you don't linger at all. And then you just see
Phyllis, sweet Phyllis,
the dog and the thing and everybody.
Jonathan!
Now we're coming to the cemetery. Remember this? We were in town scouting locations and we passed...
Look at that.
Look at that country. We passed the smallest church in Canada. And I said to John Barry, wouldn't it be nice if we could take something like that and put it on a hill by the cemetery? And he laughed at me. We built the cemetery and I got out there to look at the location. The cemetery was there, and when we panned all the way around, I said, oh, my God, you got the church. And if you walk up to that church is about 4.5 to 5 feet high, as is the flagpole, as is everything else. He built this miniature.
Just wonderful, brilliant, brilliant designer.
All those powers.
And I couldn't even save him.
Can't believe it. Look at the clouds. Look at that place. Yeah. So gorgeous.
Calgary was just becoming this bustling metropolis then in 78. It was just growing really fast. And I think we were there at the time of the Calgary Stampede, where the big rodeo, because Valerie Perrine said, I'm going out to get me a cowboy tonight.
That's right.
Yeah.
She used to have another one for dinner every night.
Yeah.
I mean, she would take the dinner.
Corn fed beef. You know, it's one of the things in the narrative of this is that it was a problem that we didn't have in Superman 2 in writing, is that you have to tell the story once, where he came from, how he got to Earth.
You're right.
What happened, how he met Lois, how he came to the Daily Planet.
What's the fable?
What's the fable? Once you've done all of that in one, you're free to go. In two, everybody knows everything, and now you just do a movie. But you really shortchange Superman if you don't actually tell the story.
Setting every one of these shots, I remember, it's like yesterday. With the light bulb in it, and he had the wire running up his arm. Here we go. Was a wonderful actress.
Yes, tell us that to you.
Good morning, Smiley. Clark, breakfast! Are you going to sleep all day? Clark, come on, get up!
Clark Kent had made a deal for $20,000 if we showed this, the Cheerios box.
Yeah.
So had to get it in.
They had so many deals. Timex watches.
Everybody who walked out there had to walk on the one path. Do you remember that, so we wouldn't knock the wheat down?
Yeah. Now, this scene is such a beautiful scene.
There's the path.
Between her and Jeff East.
Yeah.
It was a terrific last shot. And I went, how did you do it?
I do remember that. It was a
beautiful
shot, yeah. Across the fields with back panning, they called it, where you panned against the move. Only Peter MacDonald could have done it. One of the great operators of all time. And has become a really fine director.
I knew this time would come.
The British, the cameraman is called a lighting cameraman, and unlike an American cameraman, the operator's responsible for a lot more. I mean, you would work with Peter MacDonald setting up shots. Jeffrey would light, in essence, which is a different... and they are in England called lighting cameramen.
Then he'd be happy to help out from now on. mother.
I know, son.
I always thought when I was looking, it must have taken her about 2.5 hours to get out there from the house. To get so far back.
Actually, you drove the truck around the back.
Yeah. Know where you're headed?
North.
North. I don't know why. Just north.
Remembers.
Later on, and
she looks so much like her daughter, Skye.
Yes.
Always remember.
Skye looks so much like her mother. Jim Aubrey.
Jim Aubrey. Skye Aubrey.
Married to Phyllis Axton. Exactly. Here's the crane shot.
Yeah.
Couldn't crush the crane, the grain. So you're moving and panning against the move. It was almost an impossible shot.
And it's just so beautiful.
Up and away.
Now, of course, he's heading north toward the Fortress of Solitude. And I remember in Superman 2, we worked on a scene where Luther's in prison, and he says, why does he always go north? He's always going north. And Ned Beatty said, to ski? And this, Dick can elaborate on, but this Fortress of Solitude was shot on the 007 stage at Pinewood, which was then, I think, the biggest stage in Europe at the time.
Probably one of the largest stages in the world.
Yeah, and its specialty is that you can, it's water, whatever,
it has
a tank in it, so you can...
And halfway up the screen, just over the tops of the heads, what you'll see on the other side, there was lights and everything else in, and that's when this great effects director, Les Bowie, painted that all in on a piece of glass, and I said, that's not going to work. And look the way it worked. They were geniuses. They made do with what they had.
Exactly. I can't tell you how many times I would overhear Dick talking to those guys, and it wasn't like it is would be today, which is you say, this is how we did it in so-and-so, and this is how we did it in such-and-such a picture. Most of this stuff had never been done before.
No.
So they were flying blind in a lot of cases and saying, we think this is going to work. We're sure this is going to work.
The whole top half of that screen is lights and stage. Kid had some arm. Shot for months on their own. They would go off and shoot and bring in and show it to us, and it wasn't right. And that's where the seven units were going. Miniature units, flying units, effects units. Everything from the top of his head. Oh, now we're inside on the stage. Shepherd, no, Pinewood. John Barry was there the night before hanging these plastics. Remember that?
It seemed like every set we shot and we just made it.
Yeah.
Just made it.
You realize, of course, if you had taken these little plastic things with you off the set and brought them home and had them now,
how much they'd be worth.
Christie's auction.
I have to tell you, there used to be piles of Daily Planets on the set.
Oh.
And I thought, I'll just take one home.
Oh.
Turns out when the Smithsonian did Superman at 50, I had the only copy, I think.
I have one, too.
Now you have one, yeah.
And I had the globe of the Daily Planet. What's his name? Jackie Cooper hits...
Right.
What's his name on the head with?
Remember me. I am Jor-El. I am your father. By now you will have reached your 18th year, as it is measured on Earth. By that reckoning, I will have been dead for many thousands of your years.
Well, this was also a very funny story. But Chris Reeve, he had one line with Brando, really. Who am I? Remember? And he wanted to do it live. And he said, I got to work with Marlon Brando. I only have the one line.
Who am I? Right.
And Dick and I would go by where Chris was, and you'd hear Chris going, who am I? Who am I? Who am I? He said, so hold it. And finally, Dick, who's the worst prankster in the world, got to Marlon. And Chris comes up to say his one line to Brando, and he says, who am I? And Marlon says, are you going to say it like that? just turned the color of a Coke machine. So embarrassed. And then Brando started laughing.
Speak.
Who am I?
Your name is Kal-El. You are the only survivor of the planet Krypton. Even though you've been raised as a human being, you are not one of them. You have great powers, only some of which you have... as yet discovered.
Come with me now, my son, as we break through the bars of your earthly confinement, traveling through time and space. The six-month...
Your powers will far...
And it was a very important, too, from a structural point of view, where Brando could delineate what powers he had, what they were to be used for...
And how not to use them.
And how not to use them. For instance, you may not change the course of human history. Because there's a basic problem with Superman, especially in writing somebody with all those powers. If Superman is that all-powerful, how come people die? How come there are plagues? Why can't Superman go and invent something? Why can't he pick up, if there's going to be a flood, why can't he suck all the water out?
Well, that's the end of the movie. He defies his father.
Exactly.
To bring her back to life.
You have to, that rule is really there to explain why Superman doesn't fix everything. There's a war. He could stop it. He could just crush all of the ICBM missiles.
He does.
And so that nobody...
Everybody stops both of them. He misses one.
But
they go too fast for him.
He could do it. There would never be a flood. He could just suck all the water out. There would never
be
starvation.
No,
there's
too much. No, that's not true, because it's just... he's only one person. That was the whole premise of it. He would try to do things...
But
there was just so much going on that he couldn't do it all.
But you needed a reason why.
You really screwed up when you wrote this, because you didn't even understand this.
This is not
true,
Dick.
This is terrible. I'm going to reshoot this whole thing.
To discover where your strength and your power are needed, but always hold in your heart the pride of your special heritage. They can be a great people, Kal-El. They wish to be.
This very same image in the very end of the movie is there in the clouds. When he says, you cannot change the course of human destiny, my son. When he's turning the earth backwards.
Yes, to make Lois alive and not dead.
So he went against his father. And this is the first flying shot that worked. This is a physical flying shot. And this was done at Shepperton Studios. We had a whole separate unit, and we went over that night to see if we could get a shot. And here it was. This was after months of trying. Everybody yelled because we had a shadow across his face. They didn't want to use it. Cut to the loud horns of New York City, which is really a metropolis. There's the Daily Planet trucks. Oh, gosh.
I'm sure people in New York know that we use the New York Daily News.
Yes, that's right, 42nd Street. Right up to the blackout.
Yep.
First, when was that? What year? It was...
This was 77? 77.
August of 77. New York went black when we were shooting at the Daily Planet.
This is a great shot, Dick, if I do say so myself.
Thanks,
Tom.
Love
this shot.
Good lucky shot. We just happened to have the camera rolling when I was playing with it.
And this is, of course, on the stage at Pinewood.
That woman almost became Mrs. Mankiewicz, if I remember.
I tried.
Yeah. The ring dissolved in the first shower, didn't it?
There's Margot.
Margot, lovely, lovely. Hold it for a shot, Margot. How do you spell what? Two Z's in Brazier?
Or two, bloodletting, or two T's in bloodletting, or things. She's always writing lurid.
Yeah.
She had such a wonderful little engine in her for that part.
Look at that set, dear John Barry.
How come you get all the great stories?
A good reporter doesn't get great stories, Jimmy.
Wonder how she kept a white skirt clean.
Dear Jackie Cooper.
Yep.
Now, would you tell them about, because we remember we cast Keenan Wynn.
Oh, and he was sick.
And he arrived in London and had heart trouble right at the airport. Or whatever. They took him right to the hotel. And he never shot. And you got on the phone with Jackie, I remember. And you said, how'd you like to play Perry White? But you've got to have a passport.
Yes.
Because we have no time.
You've got to be here
tomorrow. And he said, I'm going to run upstairs and check or whatever. And he came down breathless and said, I got a passport. I
said,
got
you
a
have
passport.
To be here Thursday.
Exactly.
And there was a beat and he said, this is Thursday. I said, right.
But it literally got down
to
that.
Oh, look. Oh. Gosh, give me that. Oh. A little over the top.
Oh, of course not. Well,
but Man of Steel. You knew it then.
Make a total stranger look like a fool.
Interesting personal note here. Jackie Cooper informed me that speaking dialogue that I had written at 6 years old, he did a film with my father, who was then 21, called The Kid.
Oh, my God, you're right.
My father was 21.
Joseph Mankiewicz.
Joseph Mankiewicz.
Oh, boy. Lois, why don't you take more Academy Awards and more nominations than anybody in the history of the business.
That's not true.
It is?
No.
He had more
nominations. He had 17 nominations. I think.
And more Academy Awards than any...
No, he only had four. He had four.
But no, together.
Oh, together.
More than anybody in the history of the business. See how little you know about your own father?
Yeah.
Every night I had dinner with him, he used to tell me that. But not only is he the fastest type in some way. He is. Oh, I love this.
Back
with the doors. I love this.
Yeah.
She couldn't get these doors right to save her life.
Excuse me, Mr. White. I was wondering if perhaps you could arrange...
Here, sweet Margo.
And there is a thing that Margo has, an inability to handle inanimate objects.
Without...
If there is a room that is 500 square feet with only one wastebasket in it, she'll put her foot in it somehow. She has this wonderful inability to handle the physical world.
Excuse me.
Well, now, she used to call Dick Harry.
Anymore? Yeah.
And she still does, but I mean, Harry, because she said he didn't look like a Richard, or a Dick.
He looked
like
a
Harry.
Dick.
Yeah. He looked like a Harry.
So we were Tom, Dick, and Harry.
Because he always called him Harry.
I was Tom, you were Tom, and I was Dick and Harry. Here goes. This is my favorite moment. There was a little applause once in one theater.
Yeah.
And the guy,
she's
someone,
wonderful
somebody
reaction.
Got it.
She has wonderful reactions, too.
So pretty.
Yeah, and the energy, you know, of all the actresses who tested for Lois, she and Stockard Channing were the two it came down to,
right.
I remember. They both had such energy, you know.
Effervescent.
Yeah.
And if you remember, when I read Margot over at Century City, she's the only one that did that scene that I couldn't finish it. I read opposite. Because she just had me in hysterics.
Okay, bye.
Tyler.
Swell.
How'd you like your first day on the job?
Swell.
Oh, well,
swell, Clark.
I'm always
swell.
Sort of longer than I expected, but then on the whole, you know, I mean, meeting you and Jimmy Olsen and
yeah.
Mr. White.
Oh, and I'm in the shot coming up.
Swell.
Here she goes. Swell.
You know, Clark, there are very few people left in the world who feel comfortable.
Now, if you look really carefully in the reflection
swell.
In this
really?
Oh, revolving
kind of
door... The director, right? Oh. Hey, hi, Dick. What are you doing there? Get out.
Sorry, Lois.
With my jacket, and I got...
Or is Rex Reed did
Rex
a little...
Whatever happened to him?
Clark Kent. Yeah,
hi.
Lois? Hey, where are you going?
No.
You like Mr. White?
Yeah, I thought he was a really nice guy.
Cutting from Long Island to...
Come on. Get in. Hurry up. Come on.
Clark, I think we better get out of here.
I think we better do what he says, Lois.
The back alley and Shepherd and Pinewood.
Don't do anything. All right, we're coming.
Come on.
We're coming.
Come on.
Oh, back here?
Yeah.
Please don't point that at me, sir. You could hurt somebody with that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay. Hold it.
Just a minute, mister. Just a minute. Now, I realize...
Use a quote. Faster than a speeding bullet.
This isn't the answer. You can't solve society's problems with a gun.
This is just about violence never solved anything. You can't do whatever the point of a gun.
That's right.
Sir. That's the spirit. See, he doesn't really want to hurt anybody.
He played Clark Kent so wonderfully, Chris, you know. Just...
Now, come on, lady. Hand it over.
And how he went back and forth.
Yep.
Wonderful actor.
Lois, what are you doing?
Clark!
Clark! Wonderful.
What happened?
I guess I must have fainted.
Fainted? You fainted.
Sorry.
Hold up a little higher. There you go.
And the thing that made Chris work so wonderfully as Superman was the vulnerability that he just had with him as an actor.
Is it worth risking your life over $10, two credit cards, a hairbrush, and a lipstick?
What? How did you know that?
Know what?
You just described the exact contents of my purse.
Yeah, totally vulnerable. And Margot, impervious to anything.
Absolutely.
Taxi!
There was a wonderful, slightly goofy quality to
Here's
her.
Goofy
Speaking
quality.
Of goofy.
Oh, God. My favorite character.
Okay.
No, right here, the cop.
Oh, that's your cousin.
My cousin, Steve Kane, great actor.
Yeah.
So what's happening?
Has gone on to...
Every Dick Donner film every day.
And Tom Mankiewicz.
Yeah, a couple of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe lead us to the big man himself. Lex Luthor? You got it, Armis.
Come on, Armis.
We'll make captain by midnight. Hey, what do you read?
Shotzi.
That was your dog, right?
Well, it wasn't. Well, I had lost my dog,
oh,
but
right.
It was a black shepherd.
Right.
And this guy calls him Shotzi.
Oh, that's right.
What'd he take, Shotzi?
Now, the wonderful thing about a part like Otis is that Ned could be as big as he wanted to be, and you can let it all hang out there.
This is Metropolis 46. We're on foot. Over and out.
Let's go.
Your attention, please. That wonderful line that what's his name? Gene Hackman has inside when he's watching on television.
It's amazing that brain can generate enough power to keep those legs moving.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, years later, maybe 8 years later, I was checking out of the Kahala Hilton, just signing the bill, and behind me, this voice said, "It's amazing that brain can generate enough power to keep that pen moving."
It was Gene.
He remembered the line.
Oh, my God.
Metropolis Transportation, Buffalo, Syracuse. Smoking cars are forward. Move along now. Your luggage up the top. Smoking cars forward. All aboard, boarding.
Yeah.
Now, this we shot in below Grand Central, right?
Or well, that piece there's below Grand Central,
yeah.
And then the death scene is a process.
Mm-hmm.
That we could, I mean, nobody could do that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just a rear projector.
Mm-hmm.
Here, watch that shot. And all I did was start the train right up to the lens and back it up, so it looked like it was coming at you. And that was a and then we put it on a rear projection process screen. Put the foreground of that little wall in on your left. You'll see in a second. So he got pushed in front of a process screen. The reason it looks like a miniature is because we under crank, and you can see. Shaking like this, it's so weak. This is all John Barry.
Yeah, and about to come into the most beautiful set, arguably designed in the whole film.
And that came by chance, if you remember. We looked all over
mm-hmm.
New York for what was going to be Lex Luthor's lair.
Mm-hmm.
And we even went to the, what was the island? Roosevelt Island.
Yeah.
And couldn't figure it out.
And we went through Grand Central with him, and the architecture, he fell in love with the architecture.
And he said, what if there's a Grand Central under the Grand Central?
Yeah.
Okay, here, watch. That's a set, as you can well see. And so, that's a previous shot we made. Oh, I mean, so the set's moving. And then that's process. That's a rear process screen. Right there and there, and that's a process screen. So he just fell in front of a screen. Or he was killed, I'm not sure. One or the other.
And then back to the real Grand Central.
Yep. Hotter than hell, that was
one. Oh, I remember. Oh boy.
And here he picks up the hat and he says, Armus. It was the name of a New York police officer, Bert Armus, who I had on Kojak. He was our tech advisor. He quit the force and became one of the best writers in TV.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sick.
Sick.
That's sick.
What,
a mere days of executing the crime of the century? No. Step away from that, please.
That is just part of that set.
Yeah.
The whole soundstage.
Well, this is the one where he breaks the...
you tell me that I'm brilliant?
Shows where the earthquake fault is.
Yeah.
I grant you. Charismatic. Fiendishly gifted.
Try twist it.
You might explain a little bit about Gene's hair, the concept of it, because...
the idea is he didn't want to wear... That Lex Luthor was bald, as we all know. And Gene didn't want to wear a skull cap. And he refused to shave his head. And it made it very difficult. So
there's the picture of Mussolini.
So we came up with the concept that his hair would be different in every... scene as best we could, dye it different colors, curl it different. You would follow. And so we got away with it until the very end of the movie,
mm-hmm.
where they fly in and he wore the one skull cap for a moment. But you notice he doesn't have his mustache.
And again, you look at these two people who play comedy so wonderfully,
they should be doing it.
And yet both of them are great dramatic actors.
Yeah, well, that's the best side of comedy.
Exactly. That you could think that a fellow like Ned Beatty could be, when you remember him in Deliverance, I mean, it's just a heartbreaking, wonderful performance.
Well, think of all the performances Gene Hackman's done.
Oh.
And then you look at, what was it, Frankenstein?
Young Frankenstein.
Young Frankenstein, he was a genius.
Played the blind man.
But he was blind with the hot...
Yeah.
Stocks may rise and fall. Utilities and transportation systems may collapse. People are no damn good.
Look at Beatty's reactions.
Yeah.
Through the nose to get it.
Action and reaction. To a scene that really shows it.
Right. It's a pity that
He didn't see from such humble beginnings how I've created this empire.
An empire? This?
Miss Tessmacher.
She's really
how
put together.
How many girls do you know who have a Park Avenue address like this one?
I believe it, and she did a wonderful job. And I remember our first choice was Goldie Hawn, actually, for this part, and they
how
wouldn't
do you
pay her.
Remember that?
They wouldn't pay her.
Why?
And then we went up to see Ann Margaret. You and I went up to see her.
Oh, my God, in Vegas.
And they wouldn't pay her either.
Yeah, the soul kinds.
So Valerie was third choice, which is no...
Thank God she was the best choice.
Yeah, she was wonderful.
How sometimes things work out for the best.
What are you standing around here for?
I'm not... I wasn't
going to
say
it. Go.
And Jackie Cooper, I mean, because he was on the list and had a passport, you know, and he turned out to be so wonderful and, you know,
right, look,
perfect Perry West.
What do you bet?
There's no Z in Brazier. Hey, nice job on that union scandal, Kent. Oh, gosh, thanks, Mr. Wright.
Oh, hi, Clark. Good night.
Here, let me carry that for you.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Lois, have you got a minute? Excuse me, please.
Boss? And these two go to the addresses on the envelope, okay?
Night. Well, so I was wondering if maybe you'd like to have a little dinner with me.
Oh, gosh, Clark, I'm sorry. I'm booked.
Oh.
Yeah, Air Force One's landing at the airport. And this kid's going to be there to make sure that you know. Good night. Who answers a few questions with a brother's death?
Yeah, goodness, don't you ever let up?
Oh, God. How many times we did this to get the jacket caught in the girl's room door?
Right.
I would go bananas in a week.
Oh, can I take you to the airport?
Not unless you can fly. Clark.
Hmm?
Lady.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Well, hey, Lois, maybe we can... Lois?
Would you be a pet mail that for me, thanks?
Oh, sure. Night.
There was one picture, I don't know whether it was Superman, Elaine was also on, and this is the continuity person is so important on pictures. And Elaine, who's called the Duchess, is one of the best that ever did it. And when she and Dick would have these little fights, where she would say, you can't do that, because you did think in so many, you were crying, and he would say, Elaine, I'm going to do it. And she would go over and sit on her little chair, and you would hear her. No, you would hear under the. And one day, I remember Dick. I can't remember what picture it was, saying, "Elaine, don't mumble, Elaine. If you think I'm an asshole, just speak up." She got so embarrassed. Wonderful person, and great at her job.
So that was the U.S. Post Office building on Lexington. There it is. You know, we were supposed to shoot on top of the Pan Am building. We were all set and everything.
Yes.
They had the terrible accident.
They had a helicopter accident. I mean, unbelievable. I mean, that this...
killed people. The blades went flying, and so they refused to let us come in. This is all New York. And then we built... Oh, this was a long time. What a process to get this sequence. This, then we built a rooftop at the studio, built the miniatures of the buildings... Lady like Margot.
Yes.
Studio, obviously, from here on in.
Set it down. Oh, my God, we lost stabilizer rotor control. I can't hold it. I can't.
A massive crane with that chopper on it.
Is the crane what's spinning it?
Yeah. No, that was actually a flying shot.
Oh, that's a flying shot.
This is the good stuff. That's the side building. That's crane. Very hard to get the feeling of depth.
Come on, step back, folks. All right, let's get
42nd Street.
Yep. Now, I remember on that night, That was the night of the blackout while we were shooting on 42nd Street, shooting some coverage for this sequence. And Jeffrey Unsworth, great cameraman that he was, had just plugged into a lamppost.
Well, he forced the gaffer to do it.
Yeah, because he needed more light, and they said you could plug into a lamppost.
No, the gaffer said, Jeff, you have every generator going in New York. We can. There's no more light available. He said, I just have a little splash of light here on the street. And he said, oh, okay, here's what we do in New York. We steal from the city.
And so they plugged in, and all the lights went out all over
New York.
And Jeffrey was convinced he had caused the blackout. He plugged one plug into the lamppost, and all the lights went out. I could never, for days later, you'd say, it was not your fault. And no, well, you know, he really thought. And now here's the famous phone booth.
I love this shot.
And I remember when you and I were location scouting, and we saw the phone booth in front of the Daily News or whatever, New York phone booth, and we both started to laugh.
Yeah.
Because that was the big thing about Superman, was the phone booth.
Oh, man, wild outfit.
That's a bad outfit. Oh,
that's a wonderful meeting between the two of them. It's the ultimate cute meet.
Yeah.
Easy, miss.
Shots. All physical. Everything was hard shots. We shot them on...
Immortal line, easy miss, I've got you. You've got me. Who's got you?
Yeah. They made that up.
She's what they made that up. And then another line, she says, it's terrible for me to say, is that when he drops her off on the roof there, and he says, I hope this little incident hasn't put you off flying this. Statistically speaking, it's still the safest way to travel. Those are all Dick's friends. People he met at parties, they would always show up as extras in the street. You'd say, didn't I see that girl last night? Yeah, I told her to that.
Gentlemen, this man needs help.
Well, I certainly hope this little incident hasn't put you off flying, miss. Statistically speaking, of course, it's still the safest way to travel.
Wait! Who are you?
A friend.
Bye.
I love that, too. This is where the camera rolled.
Yeah.
All on a cable. The stupidest things we ever did in our lives. Jeopardizing.
You know, you could do such wonderful things with Superman saying square things like that had humor, but Chris had such wonderful built-in humor that you knew that there was an edge to it all the time, you know.
Coop was the cameraman. Hotel Coop.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, he was their great cameraman.
Dennis Coop.
Died shortly after them making the film.
And you also had Jack Hilliard, and you had great cameramen on there doing different units. And
this kid had incredible strength to go up that building.
Please, you're stealing old Omen shots here, aren't you?
No, this was laying on its side.
Yeah.
The building, well, we shot in New York, straight down 9 West 57th Street. And then pieces like this, the building is laying on its side, really. We built it flat on the floor. So if you look, cock your head, you can see how we shot it. That's just the process plate, and he falls away against process. That's going down the horizontal building. We cock the lens. He's just standing. That guy was hanging in his chair upside down by his belt. He could hardly talk. Everything was so tight. That's on a crane in New York. We were crazy.
Now, he's on a wire from a crane?
Yep. Yeah. He had to paint the wire out.
passion's good for the soul?
Because he flew in five or six or seven different ways, right? I mean, there was,
yeah.
You know.
Well, let's see, on a cable. Front projection. And on wires, that's it.
Wasn't there even a couple of animation things?
No.
No, there wasn't?
We tried it. Nothing worked right. The best flying was done on the process stage, on the front mm-hmm. projection.
Was that when they were lying in gimbals and
yeah.
so on? Yeah.
Lying flat against a screen where you projected the picture on the image behind them. And you rolled, they never moved.
Mm.
The camera did all the moving. And the background was shot, so it would be prepared for that.
This shows your old Kojak training here.
These are the Kojak guys. This is
are
the
they?
Stunt guys from Kojak.
Tell them about the night, Superman's first night, which is with the cat in the tree. When
yeah.
you tried to shoot it in New York, and he kept swinging into the tree, Chris, and we finally shot it at Pinewood in a tree.
No, just getting the cat.
Yeah,
but
getting the cat.
We did the whole thing at Brooklyn Heights.
Yeah, but he would like slam into the tree, and people
get him to get the tree.
People were yelling, "Get that cat, Superman!" You yeah. know, so he couldn't do it.
No, the best part was we had. Him on a cable, again, stupid, on this massive crane, and the cable arced out over the East Drive in Brooklyn Heights.
Right.
He was over traffic.
Right.
And one of the Teamsters of the 240 Teamsters we had sitting in trucks sleeping came out and said, you're not going to believe this. I said, what? He said, I was listening to the radio, and the chopper guy for traffic was going over, and he said, well, traffic is jammed on the West Side Highway, and now we're going over the East River, and we're over on the east side of Brooklyn Heights coming up. He said, oh, my God. He said, you're not going to believe this. There's a guy in tights with a red cape flying over Brooklyn Heights. Well, you're not going to believe me, so I'm going to keep going.
That's exactly
what
happened. Can
you come down from there?
Now, that tree finally wound up. That's on the street, Pinewood.
Yeah, but this did. But this is New York right there.
Yeah.
That's where he had to do it.
That's Pinewood.
Yeah.
And the little girl standing in Pinewood.
No, this is New York.
New York.
Brooklyn Heights. See that building? That's the people behind him and offered him a spaghetti dinner while he was up on the cable. It's all Brooklyn Heights. The kid gets a whipping right now.
Yeah, she says, Mom, haven't I told you to stop telling lies? Yeah.
Teach kids to tell the truth.
Oh, and this was really dangerous, too. Somebody got hurt, didn't they, try to do this?
Did they?
Roger, Air Force One, Metropolis currently.
I think so.
500 overcast, 700 broken, visibility 1/2 in showers, wind 240 at 25, altimeter 909 or 8.
Roger. Well,
I think you're right.
Look too good. What
I think the stunt guy, man.
Yeah, stuntman on a stage took a big fall or something.
From the wing.
Yeah.
Lost power. Hell, we lost the whole engine. Pressure's gone.
Cut the number one.
One throttle closed.
Yeah, bring up two and three.
Pressure increase.
Four.
The poor actor that plays the head pilot had such an English accent, he thought he could get rid of it. And finally, we had to dub him. And it was the most embarrassing thing because he was a fairly well-known actor. I did it as a favor. We had to bring an American voice in.
Well, then, you know, British Equity was so crazed about, they wouldn't let anybody, any American work in the show that didn't have to because of star power.
Yeah, prove it.
That, it was amazing.
It's like working in Canada today.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell happened? We got our engine back? What the hell's going on out there?
Don't look, just fly. Don't look, just fly.
I'm saying what it is. Just trust me.
Well, I think I overwrote.
Yes. What's new about that?
Meanwhile.
What Fortress of Solitude.
Back at the fortress.
That's... I don't know what to say. Well, there's that new scene we put in the movie for the first time. Nobody's ever seen this. It's the Brando confrontation with his son that you enjoyed what you did, my son. Don't be embarrassed. You're allowed to be a hero.
You are revealed to the world. Very well. So be it. But you still must keep your secret identity.
Why?
I'll never forget when Dick and I first met Brando, and we were so thrilled to meet him. We were just trembling. And Brando was in his house. And Dick and I sat down. We never met him before, and he was committed to the movie. And he said, you know, I was thinking maybe in space we don't look like people.
Oh.
I thought, yeah. He said, maybe, I don't know, we look like a green suitcase or a bagel. And I started stealing a look at Dick. I said, geez, for hiring Marlon Brando, what's it look like a green suitcase? And he said, and maybe we don't even speak. We just make electronic sounds. Well, I just written this long speech for him. I hadn't given it. And I thought, oh, my God, we've got like a green suitcase making electronic sounds with Marlon Brando. And he said to Dick, you know, I'm really mainly doing this for my kids, he said, because, he said, kids are funny. And he said, we tell them a story, and you say, the fox was behind the tree, and then he went and hid behind the wall. And the next night, they say, tell me the story about the fox, Daddy. And you say, well, the fox is behind the wall. And then he went and hid behind the tree. And they say, no, no, Daddy, he was behind the tree, and then he went behind the wall. He said, kids, remember. And Dick jumped in and said, and that's why you can't look like a suitcase and you can't make electronic sounds. Everybody knows. And Brando started roaring with laughter, and we realized he was putting us on. He was testing us to see, he'd never met us either, how long he could carry this on with these two guys and how long they were going to put up with it. He was a great tester, Marlon.
Sports are coming in of a miraculous saving.
A little product placement there, JVC.
Oh boy, did I get TVs out of that. Actually, the Soul Train's got them all.
Yeah, they don't make them anymore, do they, JVC?
I don't know.
I've never
not TV.
Any. No.
Yeah, that'll be the day, huh? Oh, who's that on the right? That'll be the day when a guy can fly, huh? Young, good-looking actor from New York.
Your guess is as good as anybody's, true or false, miracle or fraud. The answer is up to you. Man or myth?
This is the set.
And the background runs out here.
Yes. This is the set. I mean, this is all part of the same soundstage. But I take a look at the imagination of that designer, of John Barry, you know. It was just wonderful.
Wonderful is right.
And it's all patterned on the... on the architecture of Grand Central.
The wig.
Oh, now they're all the wigs. Ah.
Now we know that Lex Luthor wears wigs.
Right away, Mr. Luthor!
Look at that. Look at the design of that building. I'm just...
And at this particular time... Kind of a cruel justice.
How old was John when he died?
The crime of the century.
Maybe 38, 39.
Yeah, he wasn't even 40.
And
I remember driving out to Pinewood with you one morning.
And Otis.
Yes, and you said to me, is that funny? You were reading the pages while you were driving, and I said, and Otis, next time, remember to put the robe on after I get out of the pool. And Dick says, I said, trust me.
Now look.
There is another thing.
The news.
The line.
What?
When he says, do you trust him or something? And Gene says, not on your life, which I would gladly sacrifice. I mean, he's just so cruel, though.
How come you don't write like that anymore?
I don't know.
Jeez. You need me around,
Tom. Big wonder, Dunn City.
Any cheap promotion schemes, though, Mr. White.
Exactly. How would you know that, Ken?
First impression.
Well, anyway, who's talking cheap? I'll make him a partner if I have
to. She married.
Oh, yeah.
The editor of the New York Newsweek or Time magazine.
She did?
Yeah.
Where does he live?
I remember her.
What is the
estimate?
Your place.
Hopefully,
a
friend.
How does he plow?
A friend.
You hold it long enough for the 8-year-olds to read that.
Yeah.
Tony, who is... Mike, what's his name? What's he got hidden under that cape of his? Batteries? Why did he show up
there?
Where does he come from?
Does he have a girlfriend? Does he have a girl? That little
what's
private smile.
Team, now listen to me. I tell you, boys and girls, whichever one of you gets it out of him is going to wind up with the single most important interview since God talked to Moses.
What are you standing around about for?
What are you standing around about for?
Move.
Get on that story.
Now this scene.
Oh, God. This was the test scene.
Was
too.
The test scene for Superman and Lois and. And God, we saw. I tell you, they did a wonderful job testing with Superman. This was Holly Palance, Jack Palance's daughter, was tested with all those guys, with Chris first and somebody. Remember Holly Palance?
Right, I used her in The Omen.
Yeah,
that's right.
Jack's daughter.
Yeah.
She was.
Hi. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you have plans this evening?
The end of the sequence is cinema.
Yes, that's your trick.
Yeah, nobody ever figured out how that shot was done.
We get to that.
Nowadays would be a snap.
I remember we were, so desperate in terms of casting Superman, and when Chris put on that suit and the test, and he said, "Good evening, Miss Lane," and he hopped off the
balcony,
Jeff Unsworth, while the camera was rolling, turned and looked at me, and he went, praying, he thought this could be it. Just that one line, just "Good evening, Miss Lane." It just looked like he.
I tell you that when he was in the hotel room and he put on the glasses, he was it.
Yeah,
there was no two ways about it.
Would you like a glass of wine?
No, thanks.
And this is so adorable.
Nice place.
The scene they did it so.
Thank you.
So wonderfully to get like two
naive.
Kids on their first date. It's two kids on their first date.
Well, let's start with your vital statistics.
Are you married?
No, not.
Do you have a girlfriend?
No, I don't, but...
How big are you? I mean, how old are you?
How big are you? How tall are you? And you could just...
A lot of double entendre.
Yeah, and you just be a little shy with it and just nice, you know?
21.
Oh, I get it. You know,
yeah, pretty she is.
Yeah.
And how big are you? How tall are you?
Look how wonderful he's playing it.
Yep.
And how much do you weigh?
Around 225.
We spent a day rehearsing this on a Saturday. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Spent the entire day.
I assume then that the rest of your bodily functions are...
I remember the line that brought the house down at the Washington opening. Well, she says to him at one point, "Why are you here?" And he says the old...
Oh, yeah.
"For truth, justice, and the American way." And she says, "You're going to wind up fighting every elected official in this country."
Yeah. Good.
Yes, I do. I'm hungry.
You do? Of course you do.
I mean, do you eat?
Well,
yeah.
Well, then, is it true
when I'm hungry
that you can...
Of course.
She's absolutely adorable.
And that you're totally impervious to pain?
Well, so far.
What color underwear am I wearing?
Well, actually, I...
And here you establish that he can't see through
lead.
Oh, no.
The planter.
No, not at all, Miss Lane.
And again, it always pays off later. You've got to find the place to put it in.
Notice that shot when he looks in the room and he sees the door?
Mm-hmm.
That's had to be set up for the exit.
Yes.
The end.
Do you have a first name?
What do you mean, like Ralph or something?
No, I mean like...
Pink.
Huh?
Pink. Sorry, Miss Lane. I didn't mean to embarrass you.
Oh, you didn't embarrass me.
As a writer, when you know you have to plant something like that, you just look through the whole script to find the most innocuous moment to plant it. But it's got to be in a scene that's important enough that it won't get cut or people will remember it.
Yeah.
I come from a planet called Krypton.
Huh?
Krypton.
Oh, Krypton! With a C-R-I?
Look how you're built up by now.
No, yeah.
Actually, it's Krypton with a K-R-Y.
And the suit was different. I remember the original suit they tested in, when people perspired, there were rings around it. We said, my God, the maxi pads we're going to need for this car.
I have a great shot of him.
Because Superman can't lift his arm and
perspire. It's a law against it.
I mean, why are you here? There must be a reason for you to be here.
Yes. I'm here to fight for truth and justice in the American way.
More takes than I ever did in anything in my
You're
life.
You're going to end up fighting every elected official
when they
in this country.
Take off.
Sure, you don't really mean that.
Nothing worked right. Do you remember that?
I do remember.
Cables and acting and wardrobe and 50-something, 54 or 58 takes just to get the takeoff.
There's a very self-conscious line here, which is, she says, you mean I can fly or whatever?
Well, not really.
But like you like Peter Pan, and he says Peter Pan flew with children, Lois, in a fairy tale. Of course, we're doing the biggest fairy tale.
Was that your line, or was that
Benton's? No, that was my line.
Actually, I'd be handling the flying, if that's okay.
This is utterly fantastic.
Oh, wait a minute, where are you going?
Are you serious?
Sure. What's the matter, don't you want to go? Okay. Not me, these.
I need a sweater. It must be kind of cold.
No, you'd be warm enough.
You won't need these.
Ready?
Clark.
Here we go.
Said that you're just a...
No, are they on two separate rigs or and then holding each other? Or?
It was a one rig overhead
that
had both their wires.
Oh, Clark. No,
no they were both independently suspended. Uh-huh. But balanced on a cross rig.
With children, though. In fairy tale.
Look at that face.
Yeah, the anticipation.
Look at it. Oh, God. Even that one didn't look right.
And now we get into the John Williams lovely love theme.
But
can you read my mind
read
or whatever?
What was her name?
I don't know.
That singer who recorded a big single? Maureen McGovern.
Yeah. And Margo sort of narrated it, right?
Yeah.
Sort of talk sang it.
Yes.
Now here, is it the same thing in terms of they're each individually rigged with a cross?
This is all on the arms on the gimbal.
Mm-hmm.
They're in one position only. They don't move at all. Camera and the background does all the movement and lighting.
They would sit up there in those gimbals waiting for, I remember Margo up there reading a book in the gimbal.
Yeah.
Not lying flat out, reading a book. Waiting.
Oh, and this is a stage on wires. We actually filled that stage with smoke. And that the moon was a lamp that we painted.
And this is back to gimbals again?
No, if I remember right, this is a stage,
mm-hmm.
and they're both on a rig from their waist up,
mm-hmm.
and it was like two camera dollies that they were on, and that's the wires.
Mm-hmm.
It was the same thing. We added the stars.
Ha, 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 ha.
Can you read my mind? Do you know what it is that you do to me?
Gosh, this is cute.
I don't know who you are.
That's Cable. We tried to get Margot to sing this. We did it in New York. We recorded it at a recording studio in New York.
Here I am.
It didn't sound right. Not that she's not a good singer, but it worked better reading the lines.
Quivering.
As if it was she was reading her own mind. That was the line.
Can you read my mind?
Can you read my mind?
Words by Leslie Bricus?
That's right.
Can you read my mind? Can you picture the things I'm thinking of? Wondering why you are all the wonderful things you are. You can fly. You belong in the sky. You and I.
There's the moon.
Belong to each other. Uh-huh.
That bird's awfully high up. I never thought about that.
The bird was on a stage.
The space bird?
Yes. He has a series now.
You need to be loved.
Here's where we actually dropped them through the smoke. We had to layer that smoke in. You've got two shots, and you had to empty the stage and layer it in again.
Forgot to time ourselves. Oh, well, maybe next time.
When she says goodbye to him, there's no cut.
Right. So he comes in the door.
Yep.
And nowadays would be a cinch. Just computer graphic it in. But in those days, now. In that shot, that was recorded 6 months earlier. So that's a screen. He's a movie right now. And she's foreground of the screen. And as she walks, she'll notice it gets very disturbed right about there. So she walked off the glass, which is the background projector, and onto her set. And there's going to be Chris Reeve in 18 seconds. How could that be?
Hi. Can I come in?
Oh, yeah.
Lois, for goodness sake, didn't you hear me knocking? Lois, we did have a date tonight, remember?
It was amazing. You know, and people who don't watch movies carefully think, oh, there must have been two cuts or a thing or three or five, you know. But I know you like to put one of those in every movie.
Yeah.
How did he do that?
Nowadays, you can't put them in because they can do anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever your imagination wants today, watch The Change. I love them. He's going to make you money. He's going to tell her. He can't. Lois.
And he gets 3 inches taller every time he's about to become Superman.
He's going to tell her. But then he can't.
Lois, there's something I have to tell you. I'm really... I was.
Stanley Donen did a whole movie called Mirage with Gregory Peck and Sophia Loren. I mean, it's all done in mirrors and so on. I mean, it's amazing stuff you can do. Not as good, of course, as what you do, Dick.
No. No, not at all. Is he still.
Stanley's still puttering around somewhere, yeah.
Remember, he did John Barry's movie.
Now then, given the exact location of the galaxy that he mentions, in the proximity to our own solar system. That's amazing. Amazing! Too good to be true.
It's too good to be true. He's 6'4", has black hair, blue eyes, doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, and tells the truth.
Mr. Smucker, some people can read War and Peace and come away thinking it's a simple adventure story. Others can read the ingredients on a chewing gum wrapper and unlock the secrets of the universe.
Lex, what has chewing gum got to do with the secrets of the universe?
Right, this was,
except for the little thing in Young Frankenstein, which was a cameo scene, this was, I think, the first out-and-out comedy part that he had played. I mean, just real comedy and broad comedy. Oh,
there you go, M. M as in moron notice.
And what a natural.
N. Oh. N as in Neanderthal. Nincompoop. Nitwit. And L as in ladder.
It's ladder, Mr. Luthor, coming right up. I'm sorry, Mr. Luthor. Ooh!
In the interview, he says that the planet Krypton exploded in
1948. So his hand. The stick they came up with, it was just wonderful.
Ergo, 1948 and 3 years.
The gene was so cruel to Otis. I mean, all the time.
It was wonderfully so. And Otis loved it.
To both you and me. It's your weight and my IQ. Now think, people, think!
Addis Ababa.
Fragments from the planet Krypton exploded and went into outer space. It is reasonable to assume that some of those particles drifted to our
planet. Yeah.
Meteorites!
Yavol. Voila! Voila.
To have characters like this in a film is so wonderful for a writer because they're so exaggerated that there's almost nothing you can't write in this film.
Yeah, which is exactly what happened.
You can do a sweet, you could do a sweet love story. You can do,
yes,
you know, action things. You can do camp, real humor.
This substance is lethal.
Wait a minute, Mr. Luthor. You mean
look at that face?
Can't hurt this guy, but this stuff here. We'll kill him!
And you notice the different wigs now that Lex Luthor wears.
Doesn't it give you kind of a shudder of electricity through you to be in the same room with me?
Not like the shudder you're going to get when you try to lay that rock on him. He can see you coming for miles with those super peepers of his.
Oh, Lord. You gave them eyes, but they cannot see. Nor can Superman through lead.
He can't see through lead.
And kryptonite will destroy him. Any questions, class?
Wonder what they're wearing in Addis Ababa.
Looks like a burnous. You know, it's just a wraparound.
Are we going to Addis Ababa, Mr. Luthor?
Mother Bird to missile convoy, over.
Missile convoy to Mother Bird, go ahead.
Everything looks good. See you at base. Over and out.
Roger, Mother Bird. Over and out.
Now, this is Calgary.
This is Calgary.
Just for the
record,
we're shooting in Canada because it was a British crew and...
No, because...
Wasn't it? The British crew and they're part of the Edie, whatever.
Because actually we've got an incredible deal up there to shoot. And we only brought about 50% of our crew.
Mm-hmm.
But that car only turned over once, believe it or not. But I had 6 cameras on it.
So this is paired up with growing up, Mom, Pa, Kent, and mm-hmm. so on, which is also Canada. So
yeah.
Which we saw.
We were able to buy the wheat fields. They were the only ones that would be that late in the season. Mm-hmm. Remember, it was August.
All right, get on the radio and get an ambulance down here. I don't want to hold this convoy up any more than I have to
do. He's having trouble breathing, sir. What do you think?
Larry Hagman.
Larry Hagman.
See, this is a favor.
Who was just wonderful.
Mouth to mouth.
Yes, sir.
And he...
called Terpe. Look at the whole family.
Yeah, but sir, get an ambulance.
This was the fourth film in a row that I'd written that Larry was
about
in.
About face?
He played a better jerk than anybody else, Larry, an active jerk. He really, and then hit his full stride with Dallas.
But because of the weather, that one scene, Larry was with us for almost a month up there.
Absolutely, he was only supposed to come up for 3 days or something. And it was funny that Larry Hagman, at the time, was available to do supporting parts and small parts, and you know, and so
he was
a good actor. And then I ran into him 3 years later when he was suddenly the biggest star in television, and he had to have bodyguards to go to the airport because women would come up and hit him and stuff. He was the most; they would hiss at him. People would try and punch him.
Oh, I did it! I did it! I did it! Just like it to me.
All right, Otis. Listen, it isn't that I don't trust you, but I don't trust you, Otis. What'd you do?
Well, I set the first directional vector to 38, the second one to 67, right, and the third one to 117.
What about the fourth one?
What fourth?
Oh, wait a minute. The third one to 117?
Yes, see, I wrote it down, Mr. Luthor. I wrote
Otis! Otis! The third one was supposed to be 11, and the fourth one 7.
Oh. Gee, Mr. Luthor. I guess my arm wasn't long enough, see?
Otis, would you like to see a long arm? Otis, would you like to see a very, very long arm?
No, Mr. Luthor.
Otis! Otis!
Get it right, will you?
Yes, Mr. Luthor.
McDonald, I thought you told me this road was supposed to be...
It was so beautiful up there, I remember. God, this...
I asked you.
Back that thing off the road.
Back that thing up out of here.
Back it off the road.
Off the road.
You fellas, can you get back into that thing and back it off the road?
Get it off the road. How you doing?
All right, now listen, you're going to have to...
Jeez. Now, that's not Valerie.
Yeah?
Was that her?
No.
Well, that's back there, isn't it?
No, sir, it's up there.
Looking a little bit like Marilyn in that outfit.
Sergeant, we took the wrong...
I'm a lieutenant. You're speaking to a naval officer.
Wide load, you notice the shot with her climbing under the... Never mind.
Yes.
Back
that way.
This man is diabetic.
We were all over, weren't we?
Yeah. What did that like mean?
Yeah, that was the dam. What was it?
Right. Hoover Dam.
Hoover Dam. Boulder Dam.
Boulder Dam.
What I don't understand is why you would sell out to Marco. I mean,
we had to sneak down.
Oh,
yeah. That was,
mm-hmm.
We had, because we weren't allowed to shoot in the States, though. Otherwise, the writer would have had to pay income tax on that. Oh, that's you, Tom. You realize they could still get you.
Perfect. Just what I need. Thank you.
Reporting live from the launch site, Ground Zero. Well, today marks an historic occasion. Two XS-101 rockets launched simultaneously.
Hi, everybody. Has anybody seen Lois anywhere?
Did you mind moving a block to the village? Oh, sorry.
You're blocking set, Clark.
Holy shit. What a very difficult set to shoot in with all the reflections.
Mm-hmm.
Glass all over the place. Oh, everything was on a gimbal, it was called. The mirror would move top and bottom, left and right. The glass, so you would eliminate the reflections. I know somebody's asked about that all the time. Was it a difficult set to shoot in? It was really a difficult set to shoot in because of the glass reflections. There was lights in it all the time. But we eliminated it because it was a difficult set, so we wanted to shoot in it.
Well, what do you do? Tilt the glass?
Hmm?
Tilt the glass?
Tilt it. Eliminate the reflections.
Well, frankly, I've never been able to understand violence in any form, Mr. Wayne.
I know that about you, Kent. It's one of the reasons I wanted to talk. I've been in this news game 40 years, man and boy. And I got where I am with guts, compassion, elbow grease, and something you're sadly lacking in, son.
Humility?
No, not humility. You got bags of humility. Aggression, confidence. That's the ticket. Take charge. Let people know who you are. Why, I wasn't a boy 10 years old. I had to before I was 20.
This is Lex Luthor.
People know who I am.
Only one thing alive with less than four legs can hear this frequency, Superman, and that's you. In approximately 5 minutes, a poison gas pellet containing propane lithium compound will be released through thousands of air ducts in the city, effectively annihilating.
Only dogs and Superman can hear.
Before most of my friends were copy boys. That's what I want you to do, boy. Get Lois to introduce you to Superman.
You have to be very careful when you shoot scenes with dogs with Dick that he doesn't take them all home with him.
I really wanted to take that black and white one home with him. It's his favorite.
What else was I going to meet you, Superman? I knew you'd never accept an invitation to tea. But a disaster. With people in danger, people who need help. Well, I just knew you couldn't resist the chance to sort of pitch in. Know what I mean?
I never liked this son. Never really worked well. The transition
you're outside
as he dives out the window.
Yeah. And you would think of all the people in that room, somebody would actually see him. He takes such a long time, actually.
See? Transition was terrible.
Now that's not animated?
Nope. That's just his figure we laid out against the background.
Right.
Like this one. That's real. That was on a set.
Gee. Everyone stand back, please. Stand back. It's all right. Nothing to get worried about.
Well, don't just sit there like a dumb skull. We'll get up.
An overgrown Boy Scout, Miss Tessmacher. Tell me what you see.
Cuteness. Dimples.
You like cuteness, huh? Dimples. I'll give you dimples.
Now, this is a scene that is not included in the picture, right? In the released film? The
no.
Fire and Ice scene? Yeah.
Not this is.
Yeah, but not when he gets to China.
Yeah, no, this is all new.
The pressure's still on you, Superman.
Well, I think by now you knew that he could withstand all this stuff,
just time.
Yeah, but you also knew there's nothing surprising about him walking through bullets. He caught one in the very first scene.
Yeah, but machine guns and...
Why did I even write this?
I don't
know. Because you made me. You probably made me.
Or was this in the original? Maybe you didn't like
no.
this. No.
This is your last chance, Superman. Why don't you do yourself a favor and freeze?
I think an audience basically is just not surprised that he can withstand all of that at this point. Well,
he can't take kryptonite.
Yeah, but that's the payoff.
Well, I mean, my good, that's the why this works so well. That's why we should have left it in. I don't know why we didn't leave it in, but we ought to freeze him now. Play games, you know. Look at
there
that. They're doing it.
Wow.
Fire.
And later on, they... They opened the restaurant, the Four Seasons, they did.
This is the air conditioning they didn't have in England.
God, how many days did you waste shooting this whole stuff?
Second unit, mostly.
Yeah.
I mean, we had, seven units going at the same time.
I think he's coming, Mr. Luthor. Tor.
It's open. Come in. My attorney will be in touch with you about the damage to the door. Otis, take the gentleman's cape.
I don't think he wants me to, Mr. Luthor.
All right, Luthor, where's the gas blower?
He wants me to take his cape.
It's in the back of my mind, actually.
See, everybody just finds Superman very attractive, you know.
A warped brain like yours gets its kicks by planning the death of innocent people.
No. By causing the death of innocent people.
Fire!
Now, as you may or may not know, I am, as they say, very heavy into real estate. In order to make money in that game, you have to buy for a little and sell for a lot, right? Right.
Right.
So, problem. How to make the land more valuable between the time you buy it and the time you sell it. Now, this is California. The richest, most populous state in the Union.
I don't need a geography lesson from you, Luthor.
Oh, yes, of course, you've been there. I do forget you. Get around, don't you? Where was I?
California.
California, right. The San Andreas Fault, maybe you've heard of it.
Yes, it's the joining together of two land masses. The fault line is unstable and shifting, which is why you get earthquakes in California from time to time.
Wonderful.
Well, I love this. This is so, it's just wonderful.
Everything west of this line is the richest, most expensive real estate in the world. San Diego, Los Angeles, San Francisco. Everything on this side of the line is just hundreds and hundreds of miles of worthless desert land, which just so happens to be owned by
Alex Luthor Incorporated.
Oh, it's so it's so easy to joke about that when you're in England, and so tough when you're here.
I always keep a boat in my backyard. Hackman's wonderful.
Yeah.
Would destroy most of California.
You know, the interesting thing, with them both playing such insanity there, and Chris having to play it straight,
mm-hmm.
a lot of actors would find it very difficult. Chris was so into character, he could sustain it so easily.
Costa del X, Lutherville, Marina del X.
Otisburg?
There's Otisburg.
But the test market has got it.
It's just a little tiny place. A little tiny place.
Otisburg?
Okay, okay.
It's a little bitty place. Yeah. Otisburg?
You're a dreamer, Lex Luthor. A sick, twisted dreamer. Your plan couldn't possibly work.
I'll admit there were a few problems.
These actors worked every second. Look at Otis and that.
He's
standing
his and he's looking, yeah, he's looking at the S on his chest, too. He's doing.
Which, by the way, is target zero, right here.
Ooh.
Now, as we're getting to the sequence, there's something that's
got to be said.
The ending of the movie, which this is all pointing to, with Lois getting hurt and him turning the world backward, was the ending of the second movie, turning the world backward.
Oh, you're right.
And everybody was worried. First of all, we didn't have as good an ending for the first movie.
Right.
And everybody said, my God, if this first one's a disaster, maybe there won't be a two. Or who cares? It's the greatest stunt
Why
that we had. And
what,
so,
was it, what was the reason? Why did he turn it back in two? Do you remember?
I think that's where Lois was going to die, and he turned it back. And we put Lois dying and him turning it back into number one. But I know that the ending of two was him turning the world backwards.
Yeah, but there was a reason.
Yeah.
A different reason.
For her to forget.
That's right.
For her to forget. That she knew he was Superman.
Yeah, yeah.
He turned the world backwards so that it was 2 days before she found out.
That's right.
And so she didn't remember anything.
It's happening, Superman. Mr. Tetrarch!
Oh, the end of part one was the missile exploding. And the three supervillains were going free.
Oh,
we're free.
It explodes in space.
Exactly.
That's
and
right.
It shatters the zone of silence or whatever the thing is they were in. And it ended that way, which is, we're free, and you said, don't miss Superman 2 coming, because you saw the three supervillains were now released to wreak their vengeance. That was the end of one.
All right, Luther, where is it? Where's a detonator?
And then I think Dick came to me and said, you know, this is really the best stunt we've got, and we should put it on the end of this picture. There's Krypton.
Uh-oh.
You diseased maniac.
Uh-oh.
Do you really think you could hide it from me by encasing it in lead?
In a lead box.
I'll make this box be your prison bar.
What does that mean?
Don't touch
it. You can see it.
It's pink.
Yeah.
Look at Chris.
Yeah.
I mean, it's wonderful to play opposite that and to play that the old hometown, and give that sense of believability as the actor himself. Amazing actor, this kid.
You were great in your day, Superman. But it just stands to reason. When it came time to cash in your chips, you told them a diseased maniac would be your banker. Mind over muscle.
You don't even care where the other missile's headed, do you?
Certainly I do. I know exactly where it's headed. Hackensack, New Jersey.
You know, the worst physical havoc Dick wrecked on the British Isles during this thing was he could very seldom get a dial phone. When he tried to call the United States, the British phone system was impossible in those days. And Dick, I would say, Dick, let me dial for you, because I knew. And then he couldn't get a dial tone, and he couldn't get through. And he would yell, bleeping primitives, and he would pull him out of the wall. And so every time you drive into Pinewood in the morning, there's a little phone truck in front of Dick's office. And oh, boy, he had a rough night last night. He must have destroyed half the phones in Pinewood.
Mr. Tenspucker!
Always interesting when the quote bad girl has real feelings for the hero. Works in James Bond every time. He always has an affair with one of the bad girls. And it works like crazy.
Stuart Baird had done The Omen with me, film editor, really wonderful. And Stuart had a great sense of the energy of this piece. And throughout the picture. And took a lot of footage. And what do you say? You took a sow's purse and made it into a pig's ear?
Something like that.
What does it go like that?
But also, I think one of the best things in the world, if one walked into the editing room, to listen to Stuart and Dick natter away at each other, some of the great fights of all time, which would always end up with...
You're fired.
Dick would say, you're fired, or whatever.
Stuart would say, I quit.
Stuart would say to me, I can't work with a man. It's impossible. I can't work with him. And then I would go over to Dick, and Dick would say, I think he's emotionally disturbed. You know, I think there's something genetic with things on there. And then, son of a gun, the next morning they were back at it again. And then Dick would say to me, this is absolutely the last time. He's never going on another picture with me. And, of course, in the next picture, who's the first call? Stuart Baird.
I'd fire him, and then I'd park my car in his spot in the morning. So if he came in, he didn't have a place to park. He used to
And Stuart would always take me aside. I was the go-between. I was sort of the Gaza Strip. And he would say, Dick, I think Dick is getting worse and worse. You know, I think he's impossible to work with now. And he's the thing. And so and then Dick would say, there's something maybe it's genetically wrong with him. And then the next day, there they were again.
Well, the great hate-love relationships.
The Bickersons. Yeah.
I remember on The Omen, the biggest overs we had was moviolas we threw at each other. Literally pushed them over through a window down into a balcony and then to a street out of anger. But there he was, back again. The genius. Great film editor. Great film.
Absolutely.
Better and a wonderful director.
Mm-hmm.
He directed two wonderful films, in spite of the producers.
Hummingbird still heading due east.
The reason there were two missiles was because I remember that he promised Miss Tessmacher he was going to save her mother. Also, that Superman would always go after the missile that was going to kill people. The other one was just going to the San Andreas Fault. I mean, but he would go after one that was going after a city, and Lex Luthor knew it. And so if he fired that one at Hackensack, then Superman would have to go after that one.
No, but Superman, he wasn't worried about it, because Superman was dead by then. Yeah, he was in the water with the...
Then I'm not sure why. That was the best answer I could come
up with. It was very good, too, except, you know, there'll be people out there that are going to question your answer because they know the movie better than we do.
Yep. The person that makes so much of this picture work is John Williams.
It was a toss-up between Jerry Goldsmith and John Williams. And I first called Jerry Goldsmith because I had just finished The Omen that he got an Academy Award for. And then we were in Canada shooting, and we realized we were going to go over, and Jerry Goldsmith would not be available. So I called John, and he knew about Jerry. And I sent him the script, and he said, I'd love to do it. And then we went over, and I lost John Williams. So I went back to Jerry Goldsmith, who was then available. And it looked like the dates were going to work. And then, I mean, I think we scored a week before we delivered the picture.
Absolutely.
And then we realized we weren't going to make that date. And Jerry was no longer available, and John was available. And he came over, and actually I wanted him all along, but I felt obligated to Jerry. And but he came over, and the first day of scoring, I forget the stage we went to, it was out of town.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the intro to the credits. And the music was glorious, but when the word Superman came up on the screen, he orchestrated the word. I've never heard it done in my life, but you could hear the music say, Superman, he actually said the word with the music, and I just couldn't believe it. From there on in, it was just perfect, just gloriously perfect.
I have one little anecdote. When John came over to see the rough cut, I guess the assemblage at the time, because there was no time. I mean, he had to get really, you know, starting fast. And he's such a nice man, and so disarming. I'd known him a little bit before. And we were walking, I don't know, out of a commissary or something. And he said to me, he was asking me, he said, what do you hear for, like, the main title? I mean, what do you hear? Do you hear anything? And I said, this picture opens around Christmas. And about a month later is the Super Bowl, and what I hear is at halftime the band comes out onto the field playing the theme from Superman. That's all I know. And you know what?
They
came out onto the field playing the theme, from Superman. I said, that's the only thing I know.
Well, you did well.
Shoot that?
Gallup, New Mexico.
Gallup, New Mexico? Oh, that's right. That's where...
We came back.
Jeffrey was not on the picture anymore, and Bob, the cameraman who finished the film for him.
When he and Margot fell in love.
Exactly. And he shot the 2-hour pilot of Heart to Heart for me. Bob
Collins.
Oh,
did he? Bob Collins. Right.
Okay, kids, it's all right now.
Hey, it's Superman.
We had some of the best technicians in the world. I forget who the miniature guy was.
Oh, Derek Mennings.
Derek Mennings.
Yeah.
They're all gone.
And Wally Beavers, remember?
Wally Beavers.
This is certainly Mark McClure's biggest break.
Yes.
Very pleasant guy. Very nice guy.
And his parents owned Sea Candy, so we used to get pounds of Sea Candy every week.
Watch that table!
That was Backlot. This is all part of the stages over at Pinewood.
God, he's a good-looking kid.
Yeah. How different his hair is all the time.
Yeah. And his weight, of course, goes way up and down in this movie because when he was...
First starting.
Yeah, when he was first hired, it was only a few weeks before he was going to shoot. And
yep.
He weighed something like 185 pounds. And we got him, Dick got him with a trainer named David Prowse.
Gosh. And his
and who played
high
Darth
protein
Vader.
Drinks.
Well, he played Darth
That's
Vader,
right.
not the voice of, but the physical Darth Vader in all of the Star Wars films. And David Prowse, and I remember he swam at the Grosvenor House Hotel in the swimming
You're
pool
right.
he used to do.
Good boy.
And Dick said, you know, fatten him up, get him, beef him up, let's go. And I think there may be as much as a 40-pound difference. Now, the people running for their cars and things, that's all in England, or where is that?
That was, it's matted in, obviously, the background.
This is Gallup.
This is Gallup. This is where we went.
The San Andreas fault has miraculously sealed itself, yet Southern California is suffering major aftershocks of a major earthquake. The population is still warned to be aware of...
Jeez, come on, turn off.
Which in some areas of
I'm on!
She did a lot of screaming.
Oh, picture. Well, she hated me after this is where we get inside this, that studio. Now we're in the studio. And it was just terrible what we did to her in here. All that dirt in her mouth, and her hair, and her ears, day after day. Look at the miniatures. Really wonderful.
He did a fabulous job there. Just an incredible job.
How the progression of Chris flying, he gave it such believability. He started to control his flight with his arms and his attitude, and you could see the progression over the year that it took us to make it work right. But he made it believable. He flew. That was really difficult. He really knocked that over for us. Meanwhile, back under the earth.
Yeah, she's still getting stuff.
Poor girl. This is terrible.
Great stuff. You know, all the little houses.
Terrible.
They're all saved.
Terrible miniatures, that is.
Yep, that.
They are the worst.
And little miniature people standing on the lawn.
Yeah.
A little miniature dog running around.
You can tell by his eyes he was up late the night before.
She did have a lot of stuff poured out.
Oh,
I'd never
doubt. It was so uncomfortable, man. She had to be jammed into that thing. Then he packed it in. A little more, Lois. A little more. Just a little more. She couldn't. I mean, it'd only take a couple hours. And that was wrapped for the day.
Right.
Did you notice that shot going through the trees?
Yeah,
you
almost hit a tree.
Well, that was me in a helicopter shooting that plate.
Oh, yeah?
And we literally cut the tops of trees off.
Oh, boy.
We came very close to buying the farm. Really stupid. Oh, look at that.
This is a very, very good movie. I think, actually, in response to an earlier kind of thing, I think in the original Superman 1, before we put this ending on, Lois didn't die. He saved her, and the missile went up and exploded and released the three villains. And we added on that she died, and then he turned the world backwards to give her life.
But here, that earth that he sets her down in, had to match from where? Oh, I know, from inside the car, which we had done on the stage. So we brought that earth with us here.
Mm-hmm.
And when we put it down on the ground in New Mexico, all the bugs hatched, the flies. Do you remember that?
No.
Margot's face was covered with flies. People, it was just, we actually did a tremendous disservice to the environment.
Played this well in that roar.
Brando.
It is forbidden for you to interfere with history or with human history.
And then Glenn Ford. His voice also. I do know, son, and that is you are. There's a reason you're here, my son.
Those things I can do.
I don't know what it is, but it's not to play football.
Well, yeah. Not to score touchdowns.
Right.
Yes. Stops the world.
And now it's actually going backwards, which means
that none of this ever happened.
Right.
Look at all the money you could have saved if you had done that earlier.
Well, you sound like the producer now.
Now, the only fake thing you did there is the car comes out of the ground again. It already is out of the ground. The car already is out of the ground. Superman pulled it out of the ground. Now I'm watching it come out of the ground again. You better go back and do a little reshoot.
Oh, my God, I got to reshoot this whole thing.
You better go back and do a little reshoot. Oh.
Sure, now you're here. So where were you when I needed you?
Hi. Yeah.
Don't bother, I think it's
Look
dead.
At him.
Sure it's dead. The problem with Men of Steel, there's never one around when you want one. You know what happened to me while you were off flying around? I was almost in an earthquake. I had this gas station blow up beside my car.
Oh, I remember. Now because I remember the line. He saved her. The car was smashed. She did not die. He saved her because the last line was he pulled the wrecked car out of the ground with her in it. It was all smashed up, and she said to him, "Flip you to see who brings it back to Hertz," was the line, because it was all crushed originally, and that's not in the movie anymore.
During an earthquake, no food, no water, snakes everywhere. I had no idea.
Well, then he wouldn't have turned the earth back.
No, I'm saying in the original, when he did not turn the earth back, that's what happened. The car got crushed and everything else.
And he saved her?
He saved her because,
before she died.
Yeah, because the car was all in a crumpled heap, and she said to him, "Flip you to see who brings it back to Hertz," because it was a rented car. But that line isn't in that. So we did add the fact that she died. To make the turning back of the world plausible, there for a reason.
Let me tell you something, Miss Lane. I think he really cares about you.
Clark, of course he does.
No, not Clark.
Oh, well, Superman cares about everybody, Jimmy. But, who knows, someday, you know.
And there he goes. Oh, that's the warden, right, of the prison?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Otis. What the ground? You.
Good evening. I think these two men should be safe here with you now so they can get a fair trial.
Who was that, Superman?
The one time he was.
Greatest criminal mind of our time.
Of our time?
I hereby serve notice.
He's serving notice to you.
That these walls.
Oh, you should.
Stop, please. You.
All right, take him away.
Fool you. You don't have to. Dick Webber. Dick
This country is safe against Superman. Thanks to you.
The world is safe against Superman. Thanks to you.
We're all part of the same team. Night.
Yeah. You did it, Dick.
Look right at the camera, pal.
There you go. Flash those ivories.
And everybody fought me on look to the camera and wink. Oh, I love this. What's additional script material by?
I don't know. Who is that? You got me
Who
see
the
it.
Hell is that? Oh, Norman Enfield.
Who was Norman Enfield?
Oh, a writer we brought in. Really?
No, who was Norman? Oh, really? To
yeah,
what? To do
and,
some
and
to, narration?
To give us all the humor. Les Bowie, he's gone too. Dennis
yeah.
is gone. All these great,
Les
wonderful
Bowie.
People.
Derek's
gone.
Is Derek gone?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Brian, I don't know. Brian,
Dennis
Rich, wonderful character. Stuart Freeborn.
Yeah.
He's the one that took made the make of the mustache for me to impress Gene Hackman. Elaine
Shrake's the best.
Jessic. He saved the movie. He invented that front projection machine. Without him, we never would have had a film. With that, with Jeffrey Hellman, we didn't. Bob Simmons, he did everything he can not to make a film.
Yeah. Timothy Burrell wasn't a bad guy. Yeah,
he was wonderful. And David Tomlin,
wonderful first. He'd just come off of A Bridge Too Far, I think, or something like that. And did you have him on The Omen, David?
David who?
Tomlin on The Omen? He was your first on The Omen.
Yes, I did. I had David on The Omen. Michael Duthie.
Mm-hmm.
For 22 years, and I still know Mike, which is his last name.
Unbelievable. That's amazing. I still know you at all.
How does it feel seeing this 22 years later, Tom? To give you an opportunity to say something.
It makes me feel wonderful. I remember everything, and I always said, you know, if Dick Donner had not directed this picture, four people would have, because the amount of energy and the taxing trial of this film was just unbelievable, and I still can't believe that you got all the way through it and shot 70% of the second one.
But we had a wonderful time.
We had a great time.
It was really one of the great trips I think I've ever been on. Day one to the very end.
We were young enough to be just a little stupid, too, which was great, because you didn't realize how impossible everything was in front of you at the time. I mean,
it was a challenge that you knew there was an end to it very easy. Just,
absolutely.
Although there wasn't. We took on everything. You're right. And you were doing a lot of drugs in those days, which...
No, booze. You were the one doing the drugs.
Right. It was something like that.
You were always so aspirin. Ripped, you couldn't tell what I was doing.
I was on aspirin. Well, it was a trip I'll never forget. No, watching it just now was brought me back to every moment, every heartache, every bit of happiness. It was one of the great experiences I've ever had in filmmaking and will probably be for the rest of my life. Superman.